I think we're looking for that other safety to play alongside of T-Rap. There's been really good moments for all those guys back there, Young and some of the more veteran guys that are back there that have played for us. But I think we're still looking to find who is it going to be and how consistent can they become and how quickly can they grow if they're a younger player. And you're always looking to figure that other piece out. Right now for us, we know who T-Rap is. We know what he brings to the table. It's what other piece can go along with T-Rap.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the safety position. And I think that was mostly about Cole Bishop there, even saying the words about a young player. How fast can they develop? How fast can they come along? So McDermott on the safety position, which right now up in the air a little bit. I still think it's very, very likely that Cole Bishop is going to be out there week one against the Baltimore Ravens. I guess that doesn't have to be true, though. Damar Hamlin, they trust, of course, and he's gotten some first-team reps throughout camp in the preseason as well. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Nate is in. 803-0550 is the phone number. So Gabe Davis is reportedly visiting with the team today. Yesterday when the news came out, Jeremy very unhappy about it. Not a Gabe Davis guy at this point, which I don't know how many there are. I think it's tough to figure out sometimes what his reputation is amongst Bills fans. I think some Bills fans think he is the most overrated player ever, and I think some Bills fans think he is the most underrated player ever. And they will clash in group chats for the rest of time. Does it fit? Is this a good idea at all to bring him back? The one thing about anybody that signs Davis, because of the language in his contract with the Jaguars, however that works, he is getting all that money paid by Jacksonville. So any team that gets him is going to get him for the vet minimum. Like, he has no incentive to sign for anything more.
Yep.
So if you get him, you're getting him for the vet minimum. But who is he displacing? Is he playing meaningful snaps? Is he inactive?
Is he even really healthy is my question.
Is he healthy is another part of it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're having him in on a visit, though, I think means they want to know the answer to that question. Is he healthy?
Yeah.
From a jumping off point. And I said this yesterday, but it's not my favorite idea at all. I personally would rather they go with, you know, even Shavers at the bottom end of the depth chart or Elijah Moore and Samuel keep their roster spots and you see that out and see if you can get anything out of those two in the regular season. The reason, though, that I wouldn't be stunned if the Bills actually did sign Davis is I've continued to think all throughout camp, this is part of why I thought there was an opportunity for Shavers to make the team, is they don't, in my mind, have a plan B to Keon Coleman at the big X receiver position that was last year split between Coleman and Mac Hollins, doing the dirty work at receiver, blocking at receiver, clear out routes down the field. Like, Coleman did a lot of that last year, but so did Mac Hollins. And if you do believe that
they miss Mac Hollins,
that they wanted to keep him,
yeah,
and he's just a football nomad that wants to go place to place to place, and he went to New England for maybe more money. If you believe that they wanted to keep Mac Hollins, but Bean said you have to ask Mac, right, after free agency happened, then do they have a guy like Mac Hollins in their receiver room behind Keon Coleman? Insurance in case, hey, either Coleman gets hurt or, you know, this isn't really going well. Him playing the X. All those people out there that think that Coleman is more in line to be a big slot in the NFL, like, oh, that's kind of looking more like reality. That he should be a guy we move around more, and he's not as, you know, well-suited to play this spot. He kind of has to, though. Who else does it?
Yeah.
And maybe your answer, if he was on the roster, would be, well, Gabe Davis does it. Gabe Davis does the dirty work. Gabe Davis plays the X. Gabe Davis blocks for me in the run game at the receiver position. That he is your Coleman plan B. When I don't know that they currently have one, is Palmer going to do all that stuff? He's not really the body type and the type of player I would think is in line for that. Elijah Moore certainly isn't. I think I would get to Shavers. So yep. I don't think I would be stunned if they signed Davis.
I think if you're asking me on a one-to-one swap, Gabe Davis in the exact role Matt Collins had, I would say that in almost every way, Gabe Davis is probably a better wide receiver. The only difference is that Matt Collins was a core special teams contributor.
He was.
And Gabe Davis is not going to do that.
He didn't even do that as a rookie. I looked that up yesterday.
So that's my only hesitation, because the coach has said as much, like, if you're the fourth or fifth wide receiver on this team, you're going to probably need to play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're I assume you have to keep Curtis Samuel. Short of somebody wants him and you can trade him for a seventh.
And who's going to want him?
I don't know.
Right now, I don't see
that money
being likely.
So, like, it seems like you have to keep him. So does that mean that Elijah Moore is the odd man out? It might be. And if you're telling me then you have Curtis Samuel as your number four receiver, he doesn't play special teams. Well, now Gabe Davis is my number five receiver. He also doesn't play special teams. Mm-hmm. Are we keeping six receivers?
None of which play special teams.
None of which play special teams. And none of which...
Yeah.
And then we still haven't even talked about, okay, well, then where's the kick returner coming from?
Right. Which LaVisca Chenault has gotten a lot of run at that.
Yep.
There's Codrington, who they might just throw back
KJ
there and
Hamler.
Do it. KJ, that's another receiver that... I guess that would be a receiver playing special teams. Yeah, it's tricky to figure out. You almost really, to make it all fit in easier, you would want to have a player that's not a receiver do all that special team stuff. Like, who's going to be the gunner? Oftentimes I have one receiver, or on kickoff I've got a receiver, or on wherever. And I've got an extra corner that's going to do that. Or I've got an extra safety that's going to do all that. Hey, maybe Derek Forrest's path to making the roster. You're going to do all the special team stuff that Matt Collins used to do. But I don't know that they have the numbers for that, or they have a guy that's ready to jump right in and do it. You're right, though. Like, the idea of Davis coming in and being what Matt Collins was as a contributor on special teams, that probably seems unlikely. I mean, he could probably find a team, like maybe the team he visited yesterday in Pittsburgh, that wouldn't ask him to do that. He's played 70 special team snaps in his career, and 65 of them were in the first two seasons for Davis. 7% in his rookie year and 8% in his second year. That's nothing. Nothing for him. 803-0550 is the phone number. On Davis coming back, potentially, he's on a visit today, seemingly, and whether it's a good idea or it's a terrible idea, let's go to CJ in Buffalo first up. What's up, CJ?
Hey, good morning, guys. I believe that Gabe Davis will be a great comeback for the team, because you know exactly what you're getting. It's not like you're walking into this and I don't know exactly what to expect, or our offensive coordinator has to build a rapport with him, and our quarterback got to figure out how to utilize him or get him the ball quickly and things. We don't have any of that we have to guess about. We know exactly what we're getting. We don't have to pay him. Like, it's a win for the Bills. Yes, you want to talk about the special teams, but I wouldn't talk about the special team players. I would talk about the special team rules and how close you start to the 50-yard line. What is it, 30, 35-yard line?
Yep.
It's like, yes, we want certain things, but at the same time, you can manipulate the game and get what you want. You know exactly what kind of deep threat he is. He may open it up for a Kincaid or you know, Dawson Knox like he did in the past, because you know he's a deep threat. Ask the Steelers from in our own back line, in our own end zone, he threw a touchdown. He's deceptively fast, and we need things like that. So was Matt Collins. He was our deep threat last year, which was crazy. That blows my mind. But we need that in our offense, especially he's coming to an offense where Josh Allen actually has an offensive line now. He didn't have that the last time we had Gabe Davis, not to this extent, at least. I think it changes a lot on top of the run game. I think Gabe Davis, with his blocking, play action works a lot. There's a lot of positives to bringing Gabe Davis back that outweighs the negatives. Like, I understand some people may not, but we didn't want him to go because he was a bad receiver. We just didn't want to pay him that second large contract, or his second contract, and be a large one. That's the only reason I can think of actually not wanting him here. Other than that, like, nobody was really trying to kick Gabe Davis out the door. We may want more from him, but he showed up in a playoff game where Diggs did not. Those are just positives that I'm looking at.
Yeah, thanks, CJ, for the call. The one thing, though, I would really wonder, and maybe even bet against, is that, hey, deceptively fast, all those plays down the field that he made for the Bills over the years, as a guy that really wasn't like a burner, I think that probably doesn't age great. If the foot speed already isn't that great, as he gets older, and he's not really that old, he's only 26, which is kind of amazing, but he's had a couple of injuries, and even a small, marginal decrease in speed for a guy like that that is not a burner and it lives off downfield routes, I think that can be a death sentence to a player
like that. He was kind of the jump ball guy that's not really that good at jump balls, to be honest.
That too.
They've got,
right.
That's what they've got Keon Coleman for. By the way, they also had basically the exact same offensive line in 2023. They just had Mitch Morse at center and Ryan and Connor McGovern at guard instead of center.
That's true.
Clear. I mean, it's basically the exact same offensive line.
Yeah. He did show up in a playoff game.
He did.
He did show up.
And it probably hurt him and how he was projected for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely right. That's definitely right. I mean, the expectation of it, it still will go down in history as one of the greatest performances in a Bills playoff game ever. So it is legendary in that sense. I want to get to more on the contract part of it and how it ended, because like nobody wanted to kick him out the door. Well, listen, when you know what his market is going to be, that's the same thing. You know what he's going to cost. You know what he's going to come close to costing. And the Bills, I thought rightfully so, didn't value him the way that the Jaguars did at that time, which was, I still think, a crazy number to pay a guy like that. 803-0550 is the phone number. On Davis potentially returning, how it fits in with the receivers, we get some more safety stuff. We got a caller on that when we come back as well. Sal's coming up at 7. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, here on a Wednesday morning here on WGR.